George, if you wanted three panelists, why did you invite G?
Why are you starting already? Like, why? Just
you could have done without Natasha. Like, I've had enough Arsenal fans. Like, you could have just done with one.
Nothing yet, and you're starting.
Right.
I felt like before he kicked off, he wanted suggestions. Maybe I read the room. I don't know.
Anyway, this is the Football Fans Podcast. We are back with myself, Jordan, Jarrett, Brian. Been away for a little while. Not going to lie, full transparency. Wasn't feeling football for a bit. Wasn't any football for a bit. And just thought I'd take a little time out, give the pod a little space, a little time to breathe. But I'm back in. I'm seeing some nice transfers coming into the league. My team happens to not be completely hopeless at the moment, so that always helps. But generally, I'm seeing a lot more things across football that are making me a bit more interested again. There's some managers that are under massive pressure, I think, this year. But we'll get into that in a minute. And I think someone's going to crack, and I want to see who cracks. So we brought the pod back. We will be bi-weekly. If you're not subscribed by now, please go and do so. We are across all the usual social media sites, all that rubbish, whatever. Anyway, so this week, I've got back our original panel from the very first pod, plus G.
Let's get it right.
That was even a shot.
He weren't there.
I can leave if I'm really inconvenient to you guys.
I'm just glad you left that door open behind you. Nice and easy.
So we've got four guests this week going forward. We've got United fan Marvin. Good evening, Marvin.
Good evening, sir. How you doing? You all right?
Nice, man. I'm nice. What's been going on?
Well, I was all right until I saw your little talk sport snippet this morning. What a load of horse shit that was, right? Other than that, I'm all right.
It got me more work, Marvin.
Talking about United, but we'll get to that. So, yeah, I'm all right.
I've got Arsenal fan Natasha. What are you saying, Tash?
Okay. I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right, man. I'm still out here in these streets. We got Spurs fan Ollie. Ollie, it's been a minute, man. You've been hiding from me. Where you been, man?
You've been hiding until Arsenal won a trophy, and now you're starting the pod again. You're so transparent, Jordan. So transparent.
Well, are you saying if Chelsea had won it, that we wouldn't be here right now?
Of course. You hear him, what he said, how he started the whole pod. I weren't really feeling football. Won a few trophies, and it's like, all right, I'm back in it. Oh, this is all right. Yeah, it's fun. A few players. Oh, yeah. And the thing is, Marv, yeah, they're already saying to me, right? I had one the other day. This guy who cuts my hair, yeah, he's already coming with the same rubbish. Yeah. We're gonna finish above you, We're gonna finish above you. We're a better team than you. But it's been 4 years. You haven't finished above us in 4 years. And they're still going on about, we're better than you, though. We're better than you. Right.
How many times have we finished above you in our lifetime, though?
Lifetime.
Oh, we're going there, are we? Oh, wow. It's just a question.
Hang on.
Let me finish the lineup first of all. We have Chelsea fan
Gabriel. How many times have you finished above us ever? Wow. Leave that one hanging. Like a wet fart. That was terrible.
I said in your lifetime, not ever.
Good evening, Gabriel.
Wow. How you doing, Jordan? I'm cool. I'm just going to shut up because I'm enjoying this.
All right. Okay, so first of all, a little catch up. So how's everything been? We've been away for a few months. We did a few during the lockdown. But hasn't, we had no football for a while. Football's come back. Just generally, guys, what's everybody made of Project Restart and kind of going into the new season? Because the talk was for a long time, and I was saying it, when the pandemic was at its peak, I couldn't see any sport until 2021. Do you know what I mean? So that might have been a bit dramatic, but I genuinely couldn't see any sport happening for a while. So I think they've done quite well to get sport up and running. But what's everyone made of the kind of transitional period from sport coming back to where we are right now?
I bet you're glad you it did come back now, George, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, buzzing.
Just do a run back before.
you can't win a plate if the season doesn't come back. But I guess the plate's from the new season, George. So
yeah,
won that anyway, right? Or there wouldn't have been a plate because you wouldn't have had an FA Cup final.
That's true. That's true. That's true. But we won it. We won it. We won it, Marv. That's what it matters.
What, the plate or the FA Cup?
Both.
Oh. You're not calling it a trophy, though, are you?
No way. No, no.
Not
no.
That stupid.
I actually feel
that Chelsea and Arsenal hate Spurs so much that they thought, Chelsea thought, let's let Arsenal win this year because that will mean Spurs will have to go through qualifying rounds of the UEFA. What is it with Arsenal and Chelsea? Why are you so pally? I don't understand it. Why are you so pally? What is all this thing you're doing where you're swapping players and all this sort of stuff and like you know Willian's going to Arsenal. How many ex-Chelsea players have you got at Arsenal now? Have you got no shame? Seriously.
You've got to go somewhere to retire, Ollie. Come on.
Huh? Oh,
you've got to go somewhere to retire.
Oh. Oh, you know what though? On a serious note, right? This is gonna shock all of you panelists, right? But I actually hate Arsenal fans more than I hate Liverpool fans, you know?
Wow, wow.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Yeah,
man. Did we do? Who hurt you?
Let me tell you, right? I mean, sorry, Jordan, I don't mean to digress. I mean, Project Restart's lovely and all that. Like, I was the same as you. I could have done without it, mainly because I didn't want Liverpool to win the league, right? So that's how I feel. But I was in my house with two little kids. Like, football was a nice release, right? But as far as Arsenal fans go, I just can't believe the level of gas I'm hearing. It's just... It's shocking me to my core, right? Like,
I think
we speak for everyone that's not Arsenal, basically. Like, if you look at the signings, Willian is one foot in the grave, right? Gabriel, I don't care what anyone's told you, what anyone says, right? I've seen him play one game, so for him to be held as the savior, I don't know where that's coming from. Saliba's untested, but you speak to any of them and Arteta's playing this phenomenal ball and they think they're going to at minimum get top four, maybe win the whole damn thing. And if they count the plate, we'll win a treble this year. Like, I don't know what's happening. Or I just get it. Like, I wouldn't even mind if they finish like a sliver outside of the top four, like a sliver. Give me a sliver and then I can see it, right? But when you were just about scraped into the top half of the table and chat shit, simple, right? And as far as I'm concerned, let me not cast dispersion on Arteta. I like what he's doing. I like the direction they're going. But the jump that they think they're going to make based on the signings they've done thus far, I just don't know where it's coming from. Jordan sat in TalkSport studio giving all the bigging about Partey, Bellerin to go out to PSG for tons of cash because he's a phenomenal player, isn't he? He's a phenomenal player. He's worth about £50 million, isn't he? And then, you know, we get Partey and I think we're gonna get into the top four because I don't rate Ollie and I don't rate Frank. You know what? I don't rate them either, George. But you know what I don't rate? Arsenal. I don't. Simple as that.
Do you know what?
I've got it off my chest.
Let Tash respond.
Do you know what? I agree with Marv to a certain extent, you know. I think you've got to remember the whole Arteta coming into the club, it's a project. We're not suddenly going to turn around this season and win the league with 20 points. So anyone saying that, you know, maybe go get some sleep or relax or something. But it's you've got to see it as a long-term project. Do I think we'll finish around the top four? I think I would like to hope so. But we're not going to win the league. We're not going to get a treble. Do you know what I mean? We've got to be realistic. Because whether or not you rate Lampard or Ole, on paper, their teams are better than us at the moment. We don't know how Gabriel's going to come in and do. Yeah, he looks like a good prospect, but until we see him 20, 30 games into the season, we might not be able to rate him.
Tasha, where's Willian going to play? Where's he playing?
I'll just call Arteta and ask him.
Because everyone's giving me this big one about Willian, right? Willian is, how old is he, 33, 34?
I don't think he's bought him necessarily to play him week in, week out. I think there's a lot of youngsters in the club. And I think, you know, whatever we say about David Luiz, all the other players rate him as a person, as a man, as someone to have in your dressing room. And I wonder if David Luiz.
What? Luiz? Who that one? What, the one who they were nearly going to get rid of and then they suddenly gave him a new contract?
That's what I'm talking about, what players are saying, not not necessarily fans. That's what a lot of the young players are saying. They've been out in interviews and just
can you tell me why? Can you tell me why you're so pally with Chelsea? What is going on with you and Chelsea?
I didn't know we were pally with Chelsea. That's news to me.
What's going on, though? How many ex-Chelsea players have you got in your team now?
How many we got, George?
Two? William, Louise...
Two.
Agent Louise, Agent William, and Agent Chet just came back.
What is it going on?
Oh, yeah. We swapped.
I thought there was a rivalry between you, but you seem to have... It seems to be all hands across the ocean. We're all friends.
Do you know what it is? Maybe you lot got your new stadium and we just got sick of hearing about your new stadium. So we just started. Maybe that's what it was. But why are you bothered if Arsenal and Chelsea are friends?
Because it's weird. I think it's weird. I think it's very strange. You do any kind of business with Chelsea, a club that you profess to dislike, and basically they're supposed to be one of your London rivals. And you're doing business. Why are they doing business with you? Why are you doing business with them?
I don't think the rivalry between Arsenal and Chelsea.
No.
In terms of, it's not like Arsenal and Spurs, Spurs and West Ham, Spurs and Chelsea. I think the fan base don't like Chelsea fans because they're new money. They've just been born 15 years ago.
Because you're hating.
Amongst the fans is a rivalry. But even though we're London clubs, there's not really a big rivalry between us and Chelsea. There isn't.
Yeah, because you're not competing. Maybe if you were, it would be different.
It's just not, I don't think it's a sin for one player to go to the other team in the way that it would be if Chelsea went to Spurs.
Why would that be, though? Why would that be, Jordan?
Why would what be?
Why should it be a sin for a Chelsea player to go to Spurs?
I think the rivalry between the
they're not our rivals. And the clubs. They think they're our rivals. They're not our rivals. They've never been our rivals.
Chelsea.
Okay.
Yeah. We mean more to them than they mean to us.
I just don't think pre-Roman, Arsenal and Chelsea never really had beef. Since they've come new money, that they're like, oh, they're the new kid on the block. We were rivals for a while in the league, but there's not. G can tell you. Is there a historic rivalry between Arsenal and Chelsea pre-Roman?
George, G didn't support Chelsea before that. So you're asking the wrong guy here, right? Like, you've got to ask someone else.
Tottenham and West Ham have always been the big rivalries for Chelsea. I mean, Arsenal does come after. I mean, honestly, like I said, if Arsenal were on top of their game, it may be different. I think Arsenal should see it as an insult that we're willing to let players go to Arsenal without any fear of it, and quite decent players as well. Like Cech had half a good year at Arsenal. I think Willian will actually do really well for
my point is though, G, right? And I don't want to labour this too long, but my point is, even a player like Willian, yeah, who basically is kind of running on one leg now, even someone like him, Chelsea wouldn't even sell him to Spurs. Not even him.
Is that Spurs or Daniel Levy?
Chelsea would never sell any player. They even a player that they absolutely don't rate anymore, they still wouldn't send him to Spurs. Yeah. Whereas with Arsenal, they're happy to do business with them. I don't understand that. That's very strange.
I think that's like boardroom level beef, fan level beef, on the pitch beef. It's all over. Whereas it's not the same with Arsenal.
All right, so because I want to move away from Arsenal and get to your club as well. Just finally, am I the only person on this call that thinks Arsenal will finish top four?
Absolutely.
Okay.
No.
Oh, you think
I'm going to go fourth? I'm going to go fourth.
Oh, gee. Eighth to fourth.
Why, Tash? Why?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's the hope that kills you, innit? I just feel there's something bubbling. Not as ridiculous to win the league.
Tasha, you're on the call with Marvin, Ollie, and G. You've got to give more than hope. Come on.
No, you know what? George, I respect.
Am I allowed to just be a fan for a day? I love being a fan.
I love the fact that Tasha said she just feels like something's bubbling. And I remembered Ollie just talking about a wet fart. Maybe it's the wet fart that's bubbling. George, you know what? Let me be clear. I don't want to cast too many dispersions on Arsenal because they're doing business, right? So the top four is a possibility, but I'd say top four is a possibility for maybe the top 10 in the league, right? You're right. People are going to explode, right? And, you know, we'll have to see how it plays out. But I guess what I'm struggling with, and you guys are going to say it's ridiculous because we're football fans and this is what we do. What I'm struggling with Arsenal is the lack of memory and the lack of humility, right? Because you would assume that Arsenal played amazing ball last season and was so close. Like, it's like the fans have totally forgotten the entire season. And I just don't get where this player is coming from.
I think
but it's not always about playing amazing ball. Sometimes it's about doing the simple things well, which I think for the start of the season, Arsenal weren't doing that. You can see that Arteta's bringing that on the
pitch. The problem is here, right, is that it's like Marvin says, it's like you don't even remember that the season's 9 months long. It's like you think, all right, we're on a bit of form. We're doing well at the moment. So you had a good run, right? You beat Liverpool, whose season was over. They won the league and they finished, right? Man City, who God knows what happened to them. You could just as much look at what happened to them against Lyon as what happened against you in the semi-final. Manchester City, I don't know what's going on with them at the moment. But the point is, fair's fair, right? You won the cup. But the point is, that's a little run you've had. Yeah, you've had a run of good results. Arteta's doing a good job. You've brought a couple of players in. But seasons are strange, man. Events take over.
Yeah, they are.
Things happen. You know, you might be playing well now, but come November, you will be in a rut and you won't know how to get out of it. You haven't even seen anything from Arteta yet. He's been a manager for 2 minutes. When Arsenal go, this is all Arsenal on the upward curve and it's a bounce for the manager. When he goes through a period where you're not winning games, right, suddenly you're all going to be looking at him thinking, oh, you know what? Arteta don't know how to get, he don't know how to do this, he don't know how to do that. He's not had any problems yet. Anything was better than Emery. So I can't understand how Arsenal fans have suddenly gone from, you know, it's everything's rock bottom, we're terrible, and then all of a sudden you've gone on this run, you've won the cup. You haven't won a league, you've won a cup. So how anyone can then suddenly take that, extrapolate that and say, all right, we're going to finish top four now. That's ridiculous.
I've given my reasons and, I mean, I get
why. Did you?
I think we've got a good base. I feel like, yes, we may not have the best players, may not have the best team, but I think there's a good base there. I think there's a unity within the team. I think there's a calmness that Arteta brings as well. And I do believe that we won't know until something goes wrong. We won't. Hands up. We might finish 10th and then me and Jordan will look stupid. But we don't know. But I feel like the base, the simple stuff that you need to have a good season, not a good run, are there. Hopefully they can build on that.
Let's move on now. I want to go on to Man United now because this is part of the reason why I think Arsenal will finish top four. I've never been a fan of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I don't rate him. He did get top four, which fair play. But I just don't rate him. I've seen enough from him at United in 18 months to tell me that he's not a guy that can do anything beyond top four. I don't think he's anywhere near equipped as a manager to be a title contending manager, which is where I think Man United want to be. Let me start with you, Gabriel. Are they in your top four? And if not, why not?
They're definitely in my top four, mainly because I think they probably will just buck up the money and pay for Sancho. And overall, I look at the way that they finish the restart period, and it's probably not the most expiring football that anyone ever plays, but they have a method and it works and they seem quite fluid. The worry that you'd have about United would be squad depth, but they seem to be addressing that as well to a certain extent. And I think if they push the boat out, let's say they got Sancho, Upamecano, who they've been linked with, sorry if I butchered his name there, and Van der Beek, I would say like those improvements should make them comfortable top four and maybe even, I mean, I wouldn't say winning the title, but kind of pushing the other contenders close. And
if they sign Upamecano, Sancho, on top of Van der Beek, I'm expecting a title challenge minimum.
You expect a title challenge, but a challenge doesn't mean that you win it. I think the other teams are more settled and are more established, and I expect that they will be leading the way. But that's what I'm saying. I'm moving away from just getting top four to actually, you know, competing with the others. Although I think Liverpool or City probably more City, especially if they get Messi, would be the main contenders for the title for me.
Go on, Marv.
Well, I'm just trying to bite my lip when you talk, Jude. Like, if they sign, I'm expecting a title minimum. It's whatever you want with Arsenal. You don't tell me what we should expect with United, right? That's the first point I'll make.
Am I wrong? Before you move on, am I wrong?
Listen, if we make those signs, I'm with you, right? So what, the one agreement that you and I will have is I don't rate Ole, right? So we can get players in. I don't think Ole's got... I don't think he's got the technical nous to make changes where it's needed. And, you know, there's selection choices that he made since Project Restart when players were clearly knackered. And part of it was lack of depth. And part of it was just his imagination to do a plan B and try and get some of the squad players involved, right? So I agree. I don't rate Ole long-term. I can't see him lifting the trophy. But I think you get those players in, particularly in their age, right, with Van de Beek. It probably won't be this season, but once we get rid of Ole and we get someone decent in, I can see us really having a good go, right? I think the challenge for United is, unless we make more signings, I am concerned, right? Depth is a big thing, especially with Champions League football, something that you won't know anything about this year, right? And I think one of the challenges that we have is, I think a lot of people are looking at Bruno Fernandes as some sort of messiah. And I think if I was a opposing team, my tactic would be in the first instance to suppress him and make the other players play. And I'm just not sure the players play without him right now, right? So I think Van de Beek is a good signing to try and address that. I think we desperately need to replace Matic. That would have been my first place to go if I had a choice. And I think the challenge that we have as Man United is the way that Ole wants to play means you need two good fullbacks who can get up and down and offer you something in the final third. And as much as I love Wan-Bissaka, he is a Emil Heskey when he gets beyond the halfway line. And Luke Shaw's just never fit, right? So we've got some challenges, but all of that being said, I still think we'll come above Arsenal.
I want to focus a bit more, and Tash and Ollie, if you want to talk about United's chances, please feel free, but keep it brief. I want to focus more on Maguire, because I'm speaking on various outlets and platforms, and I have to be very selective with what I say and how I say it and for whom I say it to. On this platform, it's my podcast. I say what I want. I want to know from you guys what you think about the reporting and the incident itself from what we do know regarding Harry Maguire's conviction. We know that he's appealing the verdict. That could take up to 2 years, they're saying, probably a year minimum. Tash, I'll start with you. What did you make of the whole situation regarding Harry Maguire? And do you think it will impact at all on him playing and his performances on the pitch?
I think I've long said I have an issue with... Yes, it would be great if Premier League players could walk into any venue and go about their business and have a night out like the rest of us, but they can't. They're Premier League players. People know their face, and sometimes there will be people who want to create a situation to benefit from it. I think, so for me, from what I've seen of pictures and where he was, he shouldn't have been partying like that. He knows people are going to be watching him. He knows he's going to draw attention to himself. I think my issue with the reporting has been, it's not been he's innocent until proven guilty. It's he's innocent. The reporting they've come out like he did nothing wrong. Everyone's on his side. As we know, he's appealed. He has to go back and, you know, the due process is going to happen again, because a day is a very short time for a court. I think there's so many conflicting stories. And I think this is where it's really hard to make a judgment. I feel like Gareth Southgate, they should have delayed the announcement of the squad. I don't think they should have done it at that time. If they knew he was going to be in court that day, at least wait till the end of the court day and then base your decision on that, because he ended up having to remove him from the squad. I don't think it'll damage his career. I've seen model professional Harry Maguire. I'm not sure why he's a model professional. I've never seen or known him to do anything bad, but what makes him so much of a model professional compared to other footballers? Why is he held in such high regard? Because you can't tell me a drunk footballer or a drunk celeb who's accused of kicking police, not following rules, you know, most of them, let's be honest, would not be treated in the same way that he's been treated. Yeah. It seems like there's been this bubble that's been created around him that is protect Maguire, protect his career, talk him up.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. Maybe it's, you know what English media can be like with England players. I think that's a lot to do with it. And
sorry to cut you there, Tash. Let me bring in Ollie. I agree with Tasha, Ollie, in that there's definitely protection happening around Harry Maguire. He's seen as the great British white hope, in my opinion. £80 million, future England captain, leader. And you can quite clearly see, reading between the lines, that between England, Harry Maguire's people, and Manchester United in particular, they have really cobbled together to make sure that they can minimise damage limitation in terms of reputation to their star boy. What have you made of the whole situation?
To be honest, I haven't really followed it that to any great degree. But I don't know. To be honest with you, Jordan, I don't have a view on it because I don't really know what happened, and none of us do. I don't really know whether he did what he was supposed to. They alleged that he did. I don't really, you know, things happen.
Here's the thing. I don't think it really matters whether whether he's guilty or innocent. My problem is that the fact that he's been presumed innocent regardless, and even despite the verdict, there's still a caveat of, oh yeah, but we'll do that for our younger sister. And I'm not so sure that other players are afforded the same kind of caveat.
No, I can grant you that. And that's, I agree with that. But, you know, in terms of what actually happened that night, I have no idea what happened. What I do know is that, yeah, he's probably protected. But Tasha was saying that, you know, that Southgate should have delayed his squad. I mean, they don't do that for anyone. I wouldn't expect him to do that. I mean, essentially, he names his squad. He should have left him out, really. The moment
I agree, he should have left him out. But if he was going to include him, wait till the end of the day.
Yeah, but, normally with Southgate, if it was someone else, he'd just leave them out, wouldn't he? If they were in any kind of trouble, I thought that was the kind of the way he was running things now. That it was, you get yourself in any kind of trouble and you're out. So I don't know why he didn't do that with Maguire. And before you go on about he's a future England captain, the England captain's Harry Kane, I have you know. Harry Kane is the England captain. He's going to be there for quite some time. Maguire
will be at Spurs for quite some time, Ollie.
Huh?
Will he get some time?
but you know, he's got no worries from Harry Maguire, I know that much. But the thing is, I do agree with that, Jordan. You're right that, you know, he's probably been given an easy ride in terms of what might have happened and the supposition of the fact that, you know, his sister, whoever it was drugged and all the rest of it. But, you know, that doesn't surprise me at all. What I'm saying is I don't know what happened out there. Anything could happen. But in terms of what happened, how the media have portrayed it, yes, there's an issue there that the media, as always, have backed one of their boys.
Compare it to Dyer running in the stands the other month when someone was having a go at his younger brother. I saw bringing the game into disrepute and all that kind of stuff. If you look at the two different situations and how they have been reported and how Dyer was judged compared to how Maguire was judged, I think it's very clear that...
I don't know. I thought Dyer got kind of fair treatment as well. And I don't think he did anything necessarily wrong. I guess, Marvin, what my point is, and just be brief, please, is that I just, whether Maguire is guilty or not, I don't really care. I don't actually care. Eric Dyer did what he did. We'd all probably do that if we felt our brother was standing in trouble. My issue is that the media were embarrassing in how they were, even before the verdict. I don't know if you saw the Guardian headline. There was a Guardian headline that spoke about, I can't remember the wording, but it was
model professional, I think.
It was so bad. And then even after the verdict, they were still trying, you know, tripping themselves up to try and defend him. And as a Man United fan, I wonder if the Man United fan base, which some of which I've heard from, have almost been blinded into giving him the benefit of the doubt, when really, for me, club loyalty have to be put to one side and be looking at this. He's a convicted punching up a police officer. And worse for me, bribery. That's bribery!
You know what?
Yeah, but George, you just said, sorry to cut him, you just said you don't care what happened out there, whether he's guilty or not. You don't know he did that, George.
But the facts are, he's been convicted of that. Whether he did it or not, that's for later on. But the facts are, he's convicted of bribery.
He's convicted of it, but you don't know what happened out there.
What I do know is he's convicted. And I'm making the point. Go on, Marv, go on.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I think you guys have been quite polite, right? This is a black and white issue. And I think, to put it bluntly, any black player that did that, the narrative would be substantially, and I really want to enforce substantially, be substantially different. I think you're spot on. There's no surprises that Neil Ashton is now running the PR at Man United. That whole interview was like Diana.
Marvin, there's a global pandemic. There's shit kicking off in America. And that's the lead story.
I couldn't believe it, George. I got an alert that Harry Maguire was talking about it. And they found like 30 kids doing human trafficking in America. I had to search that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could not believe it, right? And as far as I'm concerned, I agree. I'd probably say it's six of one, half a dozen of the other in terms of his guilt. But he definitely did some shit, right? And I think I think the bottom line is, I was sickened by the way it was covered, but I was slightly impressed the way United did it, right? Like, you know, you gotta give it a good shoe, right? Like, I mean, based on what I saw, Harry Maguire could have probably killed a man out there, and they would have said it was self-defense, and he managed to wrestle the knife out of the guy's hand and inadvertently slit his throat by accident, right? Like, I couldn't believe it. So on one hand, I'm really impressed with the PR machine. I wish they could take that into how they do transfer dealings. On the other hand, it was clearly a racial, there's clearly a racial divide in the media. The media is full of middle-aged white men who love Harry Maguire. And the bottom line is, they don't want anybody to look at him any differently. And, you know, as a Man United fan, I'm not a Maguire fan, right? Like, I'll say it as it is. Like, what, like 80 million, he's the most expensive defender in the world. Let Ollie's, like, benchman Bergwijn turned him inside out. Junior Stanislas done him on the touchline. This is not an 80 million pound defender. So I'm not a big fan. I'm even more embarrassed that we made him the captain. And I think the fact that he's managed to get away with this is probably great for the club long term. But I think you can't get away from the fact that this is a clear example of how the media treat race differently. And I think, you know, I'm just willing to move on with it, right? He's got away with it. I couldn't believe, look, you've got a suspended sentence, right? Just don't go to Greece again, right? But yet we're still talking about it. Like, I can't believe that he's like, I'm going to get my innocence. Mate, just move on, yeah? Move on. I'm like, I'm over it.
And just to wrap on that as well, while I agree with what you said there, Marvin, I'm not even convinced it's necessarily a race thing. I think there's certain white players that they've done the same thing, wouldn't have got protected. And obviously, if that was a Sterling or a Pogba, we know what it is. But I think if that's Jack Grealish, there's no protection for Jack Grealish.
No, to an extent, I agree. And I think you and Tasha touched upon the fact that if you're an English prospect, right, where, you know, you fit the bill, and let's not pull any punches. Maguire fits the bill, you know, swashbuckling centre half, all that crap. Yeah, like
he looks like the bloke down the pub that they have a drink with. Do you know what I mean? They can picture themselves being friends.
He's the new school sort of, I don't know, Tony Adams with a drinking problem, right? And I think, you know, the bottom line is you can see the Man United guys sitting around the table speaking to him on the phone, and he might have said, yeah, I think something was going on with my sister. And they'd be like, I like that, sister, you know, protective. Let's go with that. Someone slipped something in a drink, Harry. Do you think there's a chance that could happen? And they coerced through the whole thing, right? But again...
And also, sorry, Marvin, tried to make out like he was in some Magaluf. I don't know if people know, that part of Greece, that's not some shabby, chavvy part, you know. That's a bougie area. There's not just a riff-raff around there, you know. That's
you know what, George? This is going to look badly on my character, right? But I think when it all, the penny dropped that he's in a spot of trouble, I'd have probably, if I've got his money, I'd probably have tried to do a bribe as well. I've been out to Greece. I've been out to those places. Like, bribery occurs, right? So I'm not mad at it. I'm mad that he called it wrong.
All that happened is the envelope wasn't thick enough. That's all it was.
Well, if you listen to Suggestion, he didn't. There wasn't a number. The envelope was rejected without them inquiring. He got a couple of the Greece police that actually have morals. No offense to the people in Greece, like, you know, it's a great place. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the only other point I would make is, like, let's not give Gareth Southgate a bit, like, any credit at all, right? Gareth Southgate is the biggest U-turn specialist that England has ever seen, right? He so up Maguire's arse at first, and he had no choice but to drop him because of the conviction. He also said Jack Grealish needs more Premier League playing time last season. He played pretty much the whole season and didn't pick him, only picked him because of injuries. Yeah, he picked a guy from Leeds that has no Premier League experience whatsoever. So let's not go, oh, I'm surprised Gareth did this and surprised Gareth did that, because Gareth's a great, great sort of footballing mind. He's an idiot. Simple as that.
In 15 seconds, Van der Beek signed today. Happy?
I'll take it. At the moment, I'll take anything, right? I'm seeing the world move on without us, and we need the one thing that was shockingly apparent from Project Restart is the depth isn't there. So I think we need at least two or three more bodies before the transfer window. But he's young. He fits the profile that I'm looking at in terms of a young talent who's already showing good qualities. He's from the school of Ajax. Most of those guys do well. So I'm happy with it, but I'd love to see a bit more, Jordan.
Lampard, let's have some fun now. Right. I've got a bet with two of my mates, tenner each. Lampard didn't finish the season. He finished the season last year, for me, with a lot of question marks. I actually like Lampard. There's a lot of things I think he did with Chelsea that I think were really impressive and surprised me. But there were a lot of question marks.
What, like when letting you win the cup final?
How's that salt? That salt must be really, really bitter in your mouth when he's like, wow. is Frank Lampard the guy to really get the job done at Chelsea this year? And it's looking to me, G, like Roman spending title winning Premier League funds to do that, and top four ain't going to be enough.
I mean, I understand why there are reservations over Lampard, but I do think, if I break it down, I think Lampard has become a little bit of a victim of being the new girl in the playground. All the guys, and that's the guy, I'm talking about people on Sky Sports, who think is pretty. And because all the guys are making a fuss over it, all the other girls are hating. And that's a huge one of the girls are hating. I don't understand what Lance has done that needs to be criticised or needs to have some doubts over. In this, aside from maybe the goals against. But then even in the goals against, I think if you actually look at the data and the metrics, like XG, for example, is actually one of the best in the Premier League. I think the goals against does tend to come down to individual mistakes rather than, you know, a naive system. So don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's the finished article, but I don't really see why there is this doubt over him, because I think he actually done a really good job of what he had last season. That doesn't mean he's ready to win the Premier League, no, but I don't think there's any reason to put this cloud over him to say, well, I'm doubtful because of XYZ, because what is the XYZ? Everything that isn't the XYZ can be disputed. And I'll allow you to put the XYZ on the table.
Gee, you said you don't understand why he's getting this criticism. Mm. I understand how he got the job, G. So maybe part of the reason why people are giving him a hard time is because he didn't do anything amazing. And no one really quite knows how he got it. I don't know if it was because of the transfer ban, other managers wanted to go there. But let's call a spade, right? He didn't set the world alight with Derby, right? He didn't get them promoted, right? Yeah. And there's other managers who've got their clubs promoted this season, right? Who are probably more qualified. So personally, I think part of the criticism he gets is no one... I think it goes back to what we're talking about with Maguire, like why English guy, media darling, it's just about privilege, right? So people like me are going to criticise that. But I think George might be premature. I think Roman will give him a season at least. Unless
to answer your point, Marv, he got the job because he is a club legend. And that happens sometimes. It's not the first... I mean... I don't know whether you call Arteta a club legend or not. You know, Arsenal, the bar's a bit lower.
look at
Pirlo, he's got the job. Pep got the job because he's a club legend. Xavi might get their Barcelona job next year because he's a club legend. I'm not sure why there is that level of animosity towards him getting the job for not doing much. I think it's not, he's not the first person that that's going to happen to. You know,
No, you know what? Fair, I hear that, right? But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not like Roman's one for sentimentality generally, is he? Do you know what I mean? So I think if you look at the clubs that you've mentioned so far, especially Barcelona, I mean, Pep did his time at the lower ranks, right? And, you know, and Xavi, I mean, they've been breeding him since he was still a player that at some point he's going to come back and do that job. I just personally think my criticism of him is a bit like Ole, right? I don't, like, for me, sentimentality in the game is lovely, but I'm trying to win Premier League trophies here. And giving it to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer or giving it to Frank Lampard, I just don't think he's going to get people where they want to
go. Ole, do you think that Lampard is under big pressure this season to...
Jordan, are you projected onto Ole what you think here? Big.
Yeah, absolutely.
just say that's your opinion and just try to push it onto Ole.
I'm looking...
God, we know how you feel, right? Let Ollie at least ask the question.
You mean at least ask me a question rather than make a statement.
What do you mean?
Well, all Chelsea managers are under pressure, though, aren't they? From the start. But, you know, I agree with Marvin. The question is with Lampard, whether he would have got the job at Chelsea in normal circumstances. If Chelsea didn't have the transfer ban, you know, would they have gone for someone like Lampard? And that's questionable. But I would say that Lampard, he's done an okay job. I mean, people are going way overboard, though, the way they keep talking about, oh, what a job he's done with the players that he had and the restrictions that they've been under. I mean, give me a break, man. Chelsea have been cornering the market in young players, young academy players. They're buying players at academy level and they're buying players at that level at the same prices that they'd probably be buying players who experienced Premier League performance. So I don't really buy all that. The academy game now is so marked up by clubs like Chelsea who are basically hoovering up young players. So a lot of these young players, they're not mugs. These are the best players that are out there. So I don't really buy into this nonsense about Chelsea and their kind of, you know, he's had to play
what
with
I would say,
all that sort of stuff, you know?
What I would say is at the beginning of the season, and I didn't speak to much of you guys, but I sat there on the pod and Jordan's one of the guys. And people were talking about Chelsea finishing 6th, 7th, maybe even mid-table like what Arsenal did.
Yeah, so but you've got to remember, yeah, you're dealing with Jordan. He's an Arsenal man. That's an Arsenal man who's going to tell you now that they're going to finish in the top four. So there's no...
I'm asking G, did I say mid-table?
You can run the video if you want, but you got... You thought... Put it like this. You thought that we would finish below the lowest out of all of the teams in the top. So you thought we finished below Spurs. You thought we finished below United.
And obviously below Arsenal.
Below Arsenal. So what I'm saying is, when he's gone and over exceeded your expectations, why does he not now get the credit for that?
But did he really over exceed expectations? Everyone's talking like he had 10, 21-year-olds in his team. You've got Kepa, you've got Giroud, you had Willian, you had Pedro, you've got Aspilicueta. That wasn't some lightweight team with no Premier League experience. That was the bare minimum he should have got with the squad he had.
Tasha, I think if we were here this time last season, I don't think you would have said that. That's what I think is the harshest about Lampard. I don't think anyone was saying Chelsea are going to finish top four. Most people were like, Eden Hazard was 40% of their goals. Now they've lost him. They can't buy anyone. It's crisis for Chelsea. They're finished.
Yeah, you quoted me.
You can buy it from a pound and again in a year's time. This was the story. So then now, once he achieves, you know, above what most people projected, surely he should get the credit for that.
You can't base your argument on nonsense that comes out of Jordan's mouth. Basically, what you're doing. I'm telling you, you're talking about an Arsenal fan. You cannot base what you're saying on what an Arsenal fan would tell
if you could think back, honestly, earlier in the season, when the season started, and we had five players who were playing pretty much, you know, like Tammy, all in the championship now, which were part of our first team squad. Where would you have thought that we'd finish? Did you finish? We would finish fourth.
I always thought that Chelsea would be competitive. They would be competitive for the top four. I honestly felt that. I wasn't like Jordan saying that Tammy Abraham's crap and he shouldn't be playing for Chelsea. I remember him saying that as well.
Yeah, stand by that one.
You know, but Mason Mount is a good player.
He's a good player.
What I saw of him, I thought he's a good player. And it wasn't like you lost all your midfielders. You had good midfielders. So, you know, I don't really see the... Lampard did an adequate job. He's done a decent job. I'm not saying he's done a bad job. All I'm saying is he's probably, as Tasha says, he's probably par for the course. He's done about what you would expect. But
yeah, I'm not
buying that he's done an amazing job.
In terms of output, where we finished in the league and everything, he's done an adequate job. I think where he gets the bonus points, which I think maybe a few people are trying to rub away, is that he actually is trying to implement a style of play, which I think is kind of coming through. And I think with the new players that we're getting, I think Willett will definitely enhance it. And because, you know, for 15 years, Chelsea couldn't get young players into the team. Regardless of
They chose not to.
Yeah, they always had
those players there.
I agree.
They just didn't need to use them.
And just on that, I find it really funny how everyone was hailing these great British prospects last season. Let's see how many of them players start next season for Chelsea. Because I think, at best, Mason Mount is the only
100%.
One in the big games, and even that's pushing it. I can't see any of them British players they were hailing up last year making in that Chelsea team. I just can't.
I think Mason, Tammy, Billy Gilmore will all
Tammy.
Get games this year.
Tammy will get seriously.
That's rude.
Gee,
Tammy will get games. Tammy will get games.
Come on, Jay.
Tammy will get a game when you fall out of the Champions League into the Europa. Top.
He'll play like the sixth game of the Champions League when you've already qualified for the group
stage. The players that you bought have not been bought for the bench, have they?
No, they haven't.
So you bought Werner. You bought Werner, right? So Tammy's sitting, isn't he? And even with Mount, that like
Kai Havertz.
With Havertz, like you're not. You're like, I hear what you're saying, right? But for me, Chelsea just took the season off from Chelsea because they had to, right? They couldn't buy players last season. And I think everything is going to revert to type. The bench is going to be full of English talent and you're going to play the big money signings and Frank's going to have to make that work. And I get George's point. If he can't make it work, it's not, oh, let's get the youngsters back in. It's let's get a manager that can make our big signings work, right? But I think Roman will give him a bit more than half a season.
I think as long as he has Jose Mourinho called it the little horse season. If you remember the first season where he came back, where he said we're not ready, we need the milk, we need the blah blah blah. As long as we have that season, I think he'll be here next year. But and I actually think there's a good chance he'll be here longer than Arteta. You want to put the money up? Feel free to put the money up.
But are you saying that because Arteta might go to a big club?
No. Hang on, Marvin. Why not, Marvin? Gee, you want to put a charity bet down there?
Yeah. Let's put it down.
That Lampard will last longer at Chelsea than Arteta will at Arsenal.
I'm confident in that. Yeah, 100%.
I don't think it's a charity. I think he just wanted the bet. I don't think he was.
Yeah, I wanted the money, but if you want to give it to charity, fine. I'm already in the Europa League. I want to do that as well. £50, let's do it.
Right, cool. It's on record. Finally, where did Chelsea finish? you froze for a second, G. Hang on. Where do you finish, G?
Head said third.
Don't give us head and heart. Just give us.
You're a mess.
All right, second. Second. That's it. Second.
Second. Oh, God.
Second.
Wow. Anyway, let's move on. Tottenham. Has everyone seen the documentary All or Nothing on Amazon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Loved it. Loved every minute of it.
I didn't. Am I the only person that thought it was really meh?
No,
it
I
was just cheesy. It was cheesy.
That. You would say that, Jordan.
I mean, George, I think I loved it.
The trailer came out about 6 months ago, maybe more. I was gassed. I thought, oh, this is going to be really, really good. And we saw the potch, how that played out. Jose comes in. Oh, this is going to be really, really good. I just watched it and just thought, first of all, it's the Mourinho documentary. Let's have it right. And then even then, I'm just like, everyone's talking about it like it's the best thing. I'm like, it's all right. What's great about
George,
it?
George, you know what? There's a couple of points to that, right? I think the first point is, Sunderland documentary aside, if you look at the English soccer documentaries that's been, it's always been a PR play, right? So so the Man City one was a mega PR play. Even the Juve one was a mega PR play, right? The clubs aren't doing it where it's going to be warts and all, apart unless you're Sunderland, where they just needed the cash, right? So I think you've got to take it into perspective that, you know, it was going to be a PR play. And you can see Daniel Levy just pulling the strings, right? I've never heard the guy speak, and now he's giving interviews talking about heartache and all that stuff, right? Spurs need money. They've got a big ground. They want to go international. They want to make sure every Korean in South Korea, and maybe even North Korea that can sneak a bit of Wi-Fi, can see how great Sun is, right? And I think the bottom line is, right, that you've got to manage expectations, right? You've got to manage expectations. So, well, I agree. It is meh from a PR play, but I'm seeing through that, right? And some of the little snippets that the documentary has given me has made me crease. I mean, the one that everybody missed that I thought was hilarious was when Mourinho got appointed and they're like sitting around the table and Harry Winks is there going, I hear he's going to do tactics. Like, I'm sitting there going, what was Poch doing? What was he doing? Like, I was actually killing myself. Aurier's sitting there. Mourinho calls him out and goes, I'm worried about you. You are
perfect. Yeah. That was my moment as well. It's like, how can you tell a player that he's going to give away a penalty and expect him to go on the pitch and not give away a penalty or make a mistake?
It wasn't just that, right? He was like, we've got VAR now, so even if the ref misses it, they're going to catch you because you're... right? Like every Spurs fan, every non-Spurs fan watched that clip and thought it was harsh, but totally agreed. And the best bit, the Pierre de Resistance, was when he sat down, told Eric Dier he loved him, he wanted to sign him. Why is Poch not playing you, right? And then he subs him at half-time with a 2-0 against Olympiacos. Like, builds this guy up and absolutely cuts him at his knees. To me, George, that is good TV. Forget the Levy shit. Forget the NFL shit. Forget Harry Kane thinking he wants to be at Messi and Ronaldo levels. Also another fantastic clip, right? And Jose just sitting there nodding, right? Forget all of that. The little bit of just stupidity or the little insights, I've loved it. I've loved those bits, right? And I love football documentaries. I love sporting documentaries. So I think the problem is you came in thinking it was going to be warts and all, like the Sunderland
maybe,
diary.
Maybe, yeah.
Sunderland doc. Maybe. I knew it was going to be a PR play, but the little bits that people miss, I love it, right? Like, I love it.
Ollie, as a fan, you impressed?
I couldn't say. Marvin's just killed it. I mean, you know, he explained everything. I agree with him. I don't know what you're expecting, Jordan. You're not going to get warts and all. You are going to get this. And it's as a football fan, you can look at certain little things and think, what was that about? The thing that got me, as well, the same scene as well that Marvin was talking about. When Jose was appointed and they're all sitting in the canteen and they're all looking at Sky, it must have been Sky Sports News or something, and they were going through a montage of Jose's career, yeah, everything he's won, right? They're all looking at him and looking at the trophies. They look terrified. They're like, trophy, trophy, look at him. It's like they've like never seen a trophy before. The way they were sitting there, like with their mouths open, just looking at the screen, they looked terrified. I think these guys are never good. They're seriously never going to win anything. They look terrified. It's like, this guy might make us work.
I love the bit he goes, like, obviously there's only one Harry Winks. So what do I call him? Is it Winky?
Yeah.
You can't have your first name because someone else has got it.
And Walker Peters is too long. Can we talk about Harry Kane's team talk, though, please? Harry Kane could not motivate me to go to the paper shop. I know. Let alone to go on the pitch and run around.
What the point of those are, Tasha?
But you notice Jose went in the last one. He goes, are you going to do this or am I going to do this? I'm doing this because you're shit. Yeah.
I can't think that Mourinho's doing... I mean, the thing is, you say it's the Mourinho show, but the thing is, I think this is going to do great for Mourinho's rep because really, there's so many people who... I didn't realise how many people absolutely loathed him before he came to Spurs.
Really?
I knew, but the amount of people who wish Spurs bad even more now because Mourinho is the manager is incredible. It's just like, wow. Everyone's... But this whole thing, basically, he's going to come out of this because... Mourinho just looks like he's having a joke with it.
Yeah.
He's just having a joke and say, I know that camera's up there. I'm going to talk some absolute shit.
Ollie.
And give them something. I'm going to throw them a bone. It's almost like Mourinho's turned around and said, don't worry, boys, yeah? We got to get through this, right? I'll take it all on my shoulders. I'll talk a lot of shit. And you lot, just stand in the background. This is my show. You know what I mean? And they're probably all sitting there thinking, yeah, thanks, boss. And they'll love him for it because he's going to throw a few things out there. Everyone's going to love it. And basically, he's going to get all the other players off the hook.
But Ollie, it's happening already because just at the point of recording this podcast, the fourth, fifth and sixth episode aren't out yet. But it's happening. I listened to the radio a few hours ago. There's a Man United fan on has called in and said, you know what? After watching this, I'll have him back, you know? All these idiots now that are watching this documentary, and you know that Jose, you know, he's all right, you know. And I'm like, shut up.
I have to say, there was that bit where he's sitting at his desk and he's listening to all those people slating him and saying, Mourinho, the football's going to be rubbish and whatever. And he listens and keeps listening.
Because it's a setup. It's not the real cup. Because they can't use the broadcasting rights from some people. So they've re-recorded it. I've seen him in a press conference. He's a far better actor than he was in that scene when he's like, fuck off, and he turns the TV off.
George, you know what as well? You know why you've got to see the fact that it's all a PR play? Is because they covered every game except the Man United game, right? At the end of one episode, they're about to play.
They shut it down clearly.
They shut it down because clearly that halftime team talk didn't go well, and I really wanted to see it. Right, so you can see that you're not going to get the juicy stuff. Like, we played shit, you guys are nice, blah blah blah, but we didn't see any of it. And the other thing that baffled me, and I'm interested to hear you guys' point of view, but you know when his assistant manager was giving him a download, like, oh yeah, Vertonghen.
I know.
And then he goes, Sissoko. Influential, and Jose like puts his glasses down and goes, fuck. Like, what was that about? Was it like he's the first guy to sell, or a black guy can't be like influential? Like, what was it? Because he was like generally like, okay, what? Fuck. And I didn't get it.
That baffled me as well, because it was almost like it was out of a spy film or something like that. Like, yeah, boss, I've got to tell you something. Sissoko, he's got big influence in the changing room. I just thought, wow. But the thing is, I mean, that's what assistant managers do. I mean, that reminds me, you know, you kids won't remember, but the Graham Taylor documentary is a bit like Laurie McMenemy or someone sitting next to him and just telling him shit. But they're just little grasses, aren't they? They just go to the manager and say, who's the one with the power in the dressing room? Who's the one that I need to break down if I need to break someone down? These are all the things that you do as an assistant boss. You're supposed to do it. But I found that all very interesting, that, you know, that Sissoko is that influential in the dressing room. Because, you know, Sissoko... I mean, this guy can't even... He can't... I'm still sick watching that miss he did against Liverpool a couple of seasons ago, where he literally booted it over the bar. How can a man who can do that be influential? Surely you should be a joke. You should be the butt of everyone's jokes.
But you are right. It is the Mourinho show, right? Like, even the bit when he says to Harry Kane, like, go home, you've got two kids. The bit when Aurier get forward and Aurier scores, right? Like, you can even the Dele Alli thing is the prime example.
I was going to come to that. I was going to bring G in. The Dele Alli bit, I thought again was cringe, and people are kind of talking. I'm hearing today and yesterday, oh, that's why he's the best. I heard who was it? Jermaine Pennant on the radio this morning talking about when he saw that clip. he was asked a question. Would that make him want to play for Mourinho? He was like, you know what? Before I saw that, nah. But after seeing that, you know what? Yeah, I'm like, you stupid idiot. And it made me think about the Chelsea time and how all the Chelsea lot must have just been overly, like, not sucking him off, but overly just like under his spell of being young and impressionable and everyone buying into it. And I'm just sickened at this idea that he's, because he's smiling a lot more now and he's got a spring in his step, that he's changed. I don't think people can change.
I don't think he has changed, but I don't think, you know, and, you know, we've talked about Jose and me before. I'm sure I'll get some jokes about it. But I don't think his effect was as bad as you thought it was, Jordan. I think it just had a shelf life, like with any other manager. I think the first year he comes in, he rejuvenates. The second year, maybe even to a part of the third year. But if he can't change the squad, then those little antidotes then become less effective. And people don't want to run through the walls, and people don't want to just play defensive football all the time. You know, those are the things that went out. But I actually think, in terms of man management, I think he is shown over various years and various players that he can get the best out of players. And I love him telling Harry Kane that he'll get him to Ronaldo level and saying, well, I'm there already. Yeah. So, you know, stick with me and you might be able to get out there.
I think the biggest winner in all this is going to be Mourinho's reputation. Like, you know, he was the special one and the angry one and whatever, but he's really going out to show, look at me, I'm a nice, decent guy. Like you said, Harry Kane, no, go home, because if you stay, then the kids will be in bed and all this. Like,
fantastic. Did you notice that he said it really loud so everyone else heard as well?
Yeah. Did you notice Dele Alli couldn't keep a straight face when he called him out? Is staged. We know a lot of it is staged, but it's all about Mourinho trying to show, look at me, I'm not the horrible person a lot of people think I am. You know, it's all about him. And Levy. And how short is Levy, by the way? I mean, I'm short, but he looks really, really short.
I think we need to be careful, though, in terms of looking at judging it on those first three episodes, because we're going to get into that part of the season where there's an injury crisis. Kane's out, Son's out, Bergwijn's out. They go out of the cup. They fall away in the league. They go out of the Champions League. You might see a different Mourinho over the next few episodes where things will change, and you might see a different side of him, which isn't the same Mourinho that bounced into the club being happy that he's back in football and taking all of the kind of, you know, all of the sort of publicity on his shoulders. So I think it will be, there might well be a bit of a difference in the next three episodes or somewhere down the line where he isn't bouncing around, you know?
You know there's a line in his contract. When they sign the contract and sign Mourinho, you know there is a clause that talks about this TV show. He's a smart man. He's got smart...
Yeah, of course.
You know, so... It was tailor-made. Like, you know, he loves London. His family's pretty much lived here ever since, even when he was at United. So to get a job at Spurs after the appalling job at United and get some Mourinho PR FaceTime, like, he's laughing all the way to the bank, isn't he? Because you know after Spurs doesn't work out, some idiot will still take a punt at a higher level job than he should be getting. But,
just do we still have the image rights for him, Ollie, or have you guys got that now? I know United didn't really pass them about because of that reason.
Oh, so how come you guys can't sell the naming rights to your stadium? Like, you're clearly short on cash.
What makes you think that they're trying to?
Because everyone does it, and Levy likes money.
No, but you've missed the whole point, Marv. You've missed the whole point. They're trying to do it a different way, aren't they? And the fact is, you just said it yourself earlier on. You said the whole thing is about selling the brand, selling the club. If you're selling, especially if you're selling NFL and all the rest of it, you want it to be the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. It's bound up in the name. It can't be if it's fucking Uncle Bren's Rice Stadium or something like that. It's not quite the same, is it? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, if it's Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, it rings around the world. And the whole thing is that he wants to make it into a venue where they're not just, it's not just about football. You know, they're selling big, before the lockdown, they had Anthony Joshua there. They had big concerts going there during the summer. They had, you know, they had the NFL there. So all of those things are going to turn up with the club's name as part of the stadium. So it's part of what they're thinking. They're not doing, listen, they ain't doing it the Arsenal way. Arsenal thought they broke the mold, yeah. Now they realise that what they did, it's like, that's like 20th century. We've done 21st century. We've killed it. You know what I mean?
Oh, you know what? So what, you think they ever shopped it around? You think it was always the plan?
I think the plan was to make them, to make the name, you know, make the name synonymous with the stadium. Yeah, I actually do.
Yeah. I take the point.
Just briefly, Ollie.
Bring back Uncle Ben's rice.
On the pitch, are you happy with the business so far? Doherty, I think, is a really good bit of business. How Jose uses
Arsenal
it.
Arsenal fan.
Who?
Yeah, big Arsenal fan.
Yeah. And
he deleted the tweets now, so it's all good.
He deleted two tweets. There's like another 50.
we know what it is. It's all good.
Going through the feed, Tash?
No. Someone else had time to do that. I just read them.
What I will say is that this whole, you were asking at the start of this about Project Restart and how it's been. I have to say that Mourinho, Project Restart was fantastic because
100%.
Because if he'd have played that kind of football with the fans in the stadium, they would have been climbing the walls. The thing is that he's been able to bed in what he wants to do, play his boring football, and he's basically got, if he can get them into a state where they're winning games, more games than they lose, then people might come on side with what he's doing. If he'd have had to do that with fans in the stadium, I think it would have been very, very difficult. So,
and he had Kane and Son back, right? Like,
that helped as well. But if you watch some of those games where Spurs were playing, you know, basically putting every man behind the ball, playing the low block and then waiting to break. But by the end of the season, they understood the system, basically. So I think that I think Mourinho can challenge for top four. I'm not saying they'll get in there. I think they can challenge. But yeah, you know, it's going to be difficult because of the money that Chelsea have spent, the money Man United always spend. So yeah, you know, I think they're going to find it very difficult. I'm looking at fifth.
Okay. You say all of that and go, I'm looking at fifth.
No, I'm being honest. I think fifth is honest. At this moment, unless they, but the thing is, Jordan, you always ask me these things, but for the, I always say the same thing. We won't know until the end of the window's close who's done what business and who's done whatever. And then you can look at it and say, right, okay, I've got a definite idea. But as it stands at the moment, I'm not going to put myself out there on the strength of what we've bought and say, yeah, we're going to finish in the top four. I'm not an Arsenal fan.
I know, just a bit of fun. You know, all these shots are fine because we'll talk in May. I'm also what's going on really then, because you can have your fun now.
I've been having it for 4 years, Jordan.
All right, you can have 4 years then. All right,
if
we're playing that game, we had 15 years before that and 20.
No, we're not playing any game, Jord. We're talking about current. We're talking about the present. Right, I'm not talking about what happened in 2001, Jord. I'm talking about the present.
All right, Ollie, the present is that our manager in 6 months has won more than your club in 15 years.
Ooh, bang, bang,
you,
bang.
You won a cup competition, Jord. We're talking about the league, man.
But Ollie, you would
we're
take
talking
that
about the league. Tomorrow. We're talking about the league.
Tomorrow.
Sorry?
You would take that cup tomorrow. Unless.
That's got nothing to do with it, Jord. No, it hasn't. So, sorry. Winning the cup, right? Is that the same as playing in the league, Jord?
Of course.
Is that what you're telling me?
No, but you're saying.
Right. No. That's it, Jord. That's it. Don't tell me anything more. No. It's the league or the cup, right? The league, cup. They're different competitions, man.
They are.
Get around it.
Ollie, my point is.
You haven't got a point.
No, my point is, you would take the League Cup right now over.
It doesn't matter, Jordan. Of course I would. But the point
is, left the building.
We're talking about the league.
You guys are arguing about who's shitter, basically. And I can't believe I'm listening to it. Like, let's call a spade a spade. Both shit.
No, Mark, I've taken shots for the last hour and a half. Yeah, it's from the guy that can't lift any kind of silverware. So I'm just drawing that card out. I'm not saying that we're great. But come on, Tottenham, really?
Ollie, you would come on, Ollie. You would love an FA Cup. You can't tell me you wouldn't be happy if you won the FA Cup.
You're just, I know you do a lot of talk sport, yeah, and they love your ignorance, yeah. But I'm telling you, you're talking to me now, yeah. This is where you actually have to make sense, right? You don't have to make sense on talk sport because they're fucking idiots, yeah. I'm telling you now, Jordan. I'm telling you now. This is about the league.
Ollie.
I'm not talking about the cup or whether we want a trophy. I'm talking about the league, man. Get in your head, Jordan. Don't start telling me about whether we want a trophy.
Ollie.
I'm talking about the league. 9 months. It's a marathon, Jordan.
All of that makes sense and it's cute and it's fine. But right now, you're talking about 4 years above us, yeah? That means jack shit as well. That means jack shit.
I agree.
So what means stuff is winning shit. Yeah? If you're not winning the league, don't give me second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. You're not winning no leagues out here. Yeah? You can go there. But so you're talking about league. What are you doing in the league? What are you doing in the league?
What are you doing? What are you doing? You finished eighth, George. You finished eighth.
I need some popcorn. Someone bring me some popcorn.
We're not winning it. We're winning something. That's what we're doing.
Okay. Sorry, let me get it straight, Jordan. Let me run it straight. You want a trophy in an empty fucking stadium, yeah? And your man can't even fucking hold it up, right? You want a trophy in an empty fucking stadium and you want me to give you props for that, yeah?
Ollie, does Harry Kane even know what a trophy looks like?
Have it. But the thing is, you're deflecting. The original question here was about the league. You asked me where we're going to finish in the league. Now you're bringing in all this shit about the cup and winning cups and all the rest of it. We're talking about the league, Jordan. If you want to talk about... I'll tell you what, Jordan. Let's play this game, Jordan. Who's going to win the FA Cup next year?
I don't care.
Exactly! Exactly!
What do you mean exactly? The point is...
Who's going to win the FA Cup next year? Who's going to win the Rumbelows next year, Jord? Who's going to win the Rumbelows?
Ask your question. Top four for Spurs. You said we'll finish fifth. You gave your answer. You could have left it there, but you put a shot in at the end. There was no need for the shot. You could have left it there and you know what you did.
There was a need for a shot. There was a need.
No.
Jord, there is always a need for a shot, to be
fair. There's always a need for a shot.
That's fine.
Especially with you.
I gave my shot back. How about that?
There's always a need for a shot, especially with you, because at the start of the season, you are full of bullshit. You talk the same bullshit year after year. Every year, you talk the same bullshit. Arsenal, you know what? Arsenal are going to do well this season. Yeah, Arsenal. Yeah.
And every season.
Every season, Jordan.
Yeah, every year.
You never change. And come November, right, no one be able to find you in November, right, when you're doing shit. When you're doing shit, suddenly it'd be like, there'd be no pods, there'd be no phone calls, no texts, nothing. Jordan, let me get it straight, right? When you know them little cheeky texts that you send me, right, when you beat us in the league, yeah? When we beat you, I never hear from you, Jordan.
What's funny is that...
When you lost 2-1, why didn't I hear from you?
Ollie, you're talking as if I'm an Arsenal fan that has thought we've been brilliant for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. You know my views on Arsenal. I've said it on this pod every single week, how crap we've been. This is the first time I've been excited about my club in maybe nearly a decade. So don't give me the whole I've been expecting for the last 10 years, because you know I haven't. And the listeners know I haven't either. So don't even try it. Yeah, all I'm saying is hold your fifth, that's fine, but don't shoot me. From Marvin, I can take it. From G, I can maybe take it. I'm not having it from a Spurs fan. No way.
What? You don't finish. You're not finishing above us,
Ollie.
That's all I'm saying, Jordan.
Say you're finishing fifth, and then we can leave it there. But the shot, no.
Why?
No, because I've got a bigger shot. Yeah, I've got a bigger shot.
Which is what?
My shot is my manager in 6 months has won more than your whole club in 15 years.
All right.
That's my shot.
That's your shot.
Let me tell you, right? Like, just being a neutral here, and I'm loving it, right? But
I think Jordan's articulated it really well. The FA Cup has done wonders for self-esteem. And I just don't know why. Like, Portsmouth won it the other day. I remember when I was a kid, Everton beat us in 95, Paul Rideout with a great goal against us, totally against the run of play, right? All this, we're lifting stuff and we've won more in the last Like, for me, like, it's always about prioritisation, right? So if Ole won the FA Cup, I wouldn't be sitting here chatting shit about we're lifting stuff, because at the end of the day,
I never mentioned it, but for an hour and a half, I'm getting shots from everywhere. So sooner or later, I'm going to draw for
George,
that card.
I guess the issue for me is, right, I've listened to TalkSport as long as I've known you, and I think my biggest frustration with TalkSport is I think 99% of the people on TalkSport chat shit, right? And a lot of them do it for headlines, and a lot of them do it just to get people talking, right? And I always thought, I just love someone I know, someone I trust, good friend, to get on there and talk some sense, right? And I think God was up there, he was listening to me, and he was like, look, Jordan's in the industry, Jordan's got, and you know, you've gone on there and you've just joined the 99%. You've got a lovely hoodie on there. You're promoting the brand. Like, respect to that. Like, send one in the post for me and the kids. But you have jumped in there in the 99% chatting absolute bullshit. And today was the top of that, where you were like, I don't rate Ole, I don't rate Frank, but Arteta's won a FA Cup, so he must be the second coming of Pep. If I hear one more person talk to me that he's learnt from the master in Pep, who's getting schooled by Klopp, and I've seen, like, you know what, so why couldn't Mike Phelan make a good job?
No, Marv, don't forget, yeah, Arteta's had the best of both worlds. He's learnt from Wenger and he's learnt from Guardiola, so that means he's going to be the best ever, right?
Oh, somebody said to me, right, that Arteta, right, doesn't live his life, like, when he's away from his family, he's got diagrams, he's got charts, like, this guy is going to revolutionise Arsenal. And, like, I'm not mad at Arteta, I'm just mad at Arsenal, like, Arsenal fans, like, at some point, just let it happen, right? Like, what you're right now, yeah, is too much. It's just too much. Let it happen. And for you to get on your platform at TalkSport, and let's be clear, the reason why that clip went on Insta is because you were chatting shit and they watched it, right? Yeah? Yeah? One player changes everything. Party. We get party and everything changes, right? Like, as far as I'm concerned, I'm just sad that my boy Jord got to that TalkSport level. He had the chance to talk sense, and I'd rather listen to Stan Collymore. Simple as that.
I stand by every word. And you're conflating me and the Arsenal fan base. I never said nothing about we won a trophy. I never said nothing about our
team. You just spent about 20 minutes going
You just said it.
No, you're referencing the clip. You said in the clip, I said, he's learned from Pep. I never said that. So let's not tell lies about Marvin.
Okay, I apologise for that. I've heard that from a while.
Let's wrap. I want to just ask all four of you before we wrap. Are you guys looking forward to the incoming season, especially with no fans looking like anytime soon and Spurs going to finish fifth, no doubt? Who's looking forward to the incoming season?
I'm looking forward to the new season. I can't wait to see Leeds back in the Premier League. I don't know, like, obviously from... How many years was it they were out of the league? But growing up, my first football job was at Leeds, so it'd be great to see Ellen Road back in the Premier League. And just football gives us something to do. Even though there's no fans in the stadium, you know, it gives us something to watch on TV, gives us something to talk about. Hopefully, I mean, I know you went to a game the other day, George. I haven't been back to a game yet, but hopefully you should be there in a couple of weeks. But yeah, I can't wait for the new season to start.
G, briefly, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just looking forward to more debates like what you and Ollie just had. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Yeah, no, honestly, I can't wait. There's a lot of exciting players, like Messi could be in the Premier League next year. That'll be amazing. And, like, you know, Kai Havertz looks like a generational talent. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing some football again. And I was never one of these people who were good or bad. I'm never one of these people that, like, oh, I'm not enjoying football, football's overrated. Like, I always want football to be there. So, yeah, 100%.
Ollie?
I could do a longer break, I think. I don't really understand why, given the situation as it is with the season only just finishing a minute ago, why they've decided that they're going to start the league the week after the international break. I mean, what kind of thinking is that? Why not just say, well, we'll have that, we know that international break's coming, so we'll basically make sure that, you know, there's all the clubs get a free run at it. They get a free run with their players for a week and training and all the rest of it. Rather than coming back dribs and drabs Thursday, Friday, whenever they're going to come back and then have to launch straight into a season. I mean, it's just nonsense. I don't understand why they do that every season. I mean, they do that in a normal situation, but this isn't a normal situation. They had a choice. They could look at the situation and think, right, there's an international break there, and then decide to, you know, give the players a chance to come back from the break or the international duty and then start the season. So as far as that's concerned, I don't really understand why they've done that. The thing with the fans and stuff, I don't, you know, it's fine. I've got into watching.
I was going to ask, run out of time, but I was going to ask you guys if you think there's a concern that people are getting used to no fans. And actually, you know, how much, I'll do it on another show, but how much fans are needed now in grounds, because...
Well, no, I think they're needed. I do think they're needed. I think the fact that, you know, just because the you know, all these clubs are struggling, really, without the fans back in the ground, you know, I don't mean in the sense that they can't survive without the fans, but they can't survive without the product with the fans. The fact that they got full stadiums and all the rest of it means that that's part of the product that's sold as for the broadcasting rights. And if all of these broadcasters are going to be buying Premier League football with empty stadiums, that isn't a great sell. Do you know what I mean? So essentially, they do need the fans. There's no doubt that the fans are necessary for football to keep getting the kind of money it's getting from broadcasters.
Briefly, Marv?
I mean, I could do without it, to be honest. I'm not particularly excited about it. I agree with Ollie. The only difference between what Ollie said and what I was thinking is, why have internationals at all? You're just putting players at risk at quarantined countries versus non-quarantined countries. Like, people would rather have Premier League football than internationals, in my opinion. I agree with G. There's some big players joining the league. Messi would be great to have in our lifetime, to see him in the Prem before he wraps it all up. But I disagree. Like, I'll definitely miss the fans. And particularly me, I live in Bromley. Like, Bromley FC is in dire trouble. And if they can't get fans back in, you've got to worry about the little clubs, right? So for me, I'd rather have had a longer break, see if the world as a whole can get this virus under control and then get back to normality. But I agree with Natasha as well. Like, it gives me something to do. Like, Netflix are pretty much clocked that during lockdown. So I think it's one of those things where, you know, we'll see what Bruno can do with a full season. Hopefully United get some more bodies in them, and then we can see, we can try. Ollie and I can send out a search party for you come November, George.
You not keep talking anyway, but it's all right. Anyway, G, Marvin, Ollie and Natasha, thank you very much for joining me on the pod this week. Don't forget Football Fans Podcast, Twitter Football Fans Pod, Instagram Football Fans Podcast. Subscribe to the Ting across all the usual podcast outlets. Till next week. Peace.